And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, a lot of people write to me and they say, what do the Illuminati, what do the elite really want? Well, you know, it seems very simple. They're rich already, but they certainly want more money. They're more powerful than the kings of old, but it seems they just want more and more power. And then being psychopaths and control freaks, seeking to establish a seamless police state, it appears that controlling others is certainly their motive as well. But is that it, dear friends? Is that all it is? I mean, that's enough right there. Money, power, control. Is that the sum of what our elite, the people that I call roughly the Illuminati, is that what they want? Well, Alex Jones, a good friend of mine, a dynamic radio talk show host, a courageous patriot, and let me just say, while I'm on a roll here talking about Alex, indisputably one of America's greatest researchers chronicling the growth and dangers of the police state, he's come forward with an incredible new video to warn that there's more, even more, to the elite conspiracy than simply, if you can use the word simple, because it's bad enough as it is, money, power, and control. Alex says on this video, and its title, by the way, is End Game. He says, and this is very difficult, I think, for the average person to understand, it's more even than money, power, control. They want you dead. That's right. Alex Jones, he is in a startling discovery in this video, End Game, says they want you dead. Now, I'm going to be talking to Alex Jones here in just a minute. He's with me on telephone, although we're in the same city. We're so busy, it's hard to get together quite often. But I'll tell you, this video is a tremendous video. It's about 140 minutes plus in length. We have the video here, so you'll want to get a pencil and paper. If you don't know our phone number, some of you have memorized our phone number. You've called us so many times ordering. But you'll want to order this video End Game that we're offering. Alex, welcome to Power of Prophecy.
Texas. Great to be here, and you know, I have to correct one thing you said. I did not discover the things that are in Endgame. In fact, I learned a lot of this information from you and all your research and many others, but we did put it together, and I do have the habit of making a really long film. It's 2 hours, 20 minutes, but it's the history of the global elite. We cover two Bilderberg group meetings. We show you here they are, they exist, here's their documents, here's the North American Union. And then in the process, I thought I knew that they wanted to exterminate us and wanted to set up their world government and reduce our numbers to 500 million. We pretty much all knew that. But actually, in the process of making this last year and a half, myself and Aaron Dykes in my office and others, we read about 30 books by the elite. We actually sent off for the Royal Commission on Population. We actually reread the State Department Memorandum 200. And really, I guess it clicked. I mean, you already, you know, the deeper you burrow in this knowledge, you realize how much you don't know. But if I discovered anything, it was this, it's not one of their policies, it's not one of their tenets, it's not one of their canons, it's not one of their pillars. It is the entire driving desire. Their every waking moment at the penultimate top of the pyramid in the New World Order, you know, with the 125 Bilderberg Group elitists, who then nexus out to be the heads of all the other managing roundtable groups, that they literally eat, drink, and sleep a desire to set up world government as a means to an end, and that when they get their world government, the killing, the stealing, the destroying starts, and that it is a holy sacrament to them. And low level, they have Satanists and psychopaths and worldly control freaks who like pain and death and everything. But with them, they believe it's a loving, holy thing for Gaia to slaughter 80%. But now that is the minority view. The majority of globalists want 95%, and a large minority now in major universities and the institutions are demanding 100% termination. humans are evil, and that they say that when there's finally one person left, they will commit suicide to Gaia.
So really, what they have been able to do is to, in the guise of things that appear to be good, you know, climate change, global warming, the environmental movement, that they've wrapped themselves in this cloak, you know, just like scoundrels wrap themselves in the flag sometime. They've wrapped themselves in this cloak, but really at the very heart of it is just a desire to kill, to inflict pain on human beings.
Exactly. And you know, to break this down, it's really scientific criminology. I mean, I don't have multiple degrees like you in space and aeronautics and management and everything else, but I even took a few years in Divinity College, and in basic psychology, they had a chapter on psychopaths and sociopaths. Mm. And since then, I've interviewed some of the top experts in serial killers and others. And a serial killer basically is a husk. They have no life. All they have is the excitement of the killing, and they only feel alive in the ritualized killing, how they do it, when they do it. It's always the same MO, just with different combinations, and that they like describe like a white light, you know, a brightness, like they're alive when they're doing the killing and the feeling of power doing it. And we look at power structures. The average person in the hierarchy of needs becomes, you know, grows up, gets a mate, has a business, has children, and you get happy, and you don't have this driving, burning thing that I want power, I want power, I want power. You get to a certain level of success in life, and you're not willing to kill old ladies for a stick of bubble gum. But the very people who tend to, as Lord Acton said, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. His actual quote is tends to corrupt. You know, people misquote power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's power tends to corrupt, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so by the very nature, we have a vetting or a centrifugal system that concentrates in the middle of the power structure at the tip of the pyramid. But a pyramid from the top is a circle with a dot in the middle, basically, this, or a conal pyramid. At the very center of this, you get the synthesized, most evil, most ruthless, most cunning. And people couldn't morally do this with our basic programming God gave us unless they were these aberrant individuals by nature or nurture. You can debate, you know, how this happens. That they enjoy it, and so they have a predatory world outlook, a predatory religion, a predatory system, and it manifests in the same way across the planet. And then so at the top, there are these Luciferians, who you've covered with the Earth First Battalion and the rest of it, who believe it's loving and beautiful to murder people in mass and engineer mass plagues because they love the Earth, not human beings, and they buy into that humans are bad, and their god Lucifer demands this, and they're going to be given with life extension technologies eternal life, a very small number of them. But again, there's a nihilistic camp who says, no, we must all die, and that's gaining before now. It's becoming the new dominant craze because these things always get more radical. They call themselves suicidal nihilists, and they are dominant. But I mean, I could pontificate all day. The point is, folks, I cannot articulate how much they detest us. When these people see happy folks barbecuing outside with a pool, splashing and having fun, they hate youth, they hate beauty, they see good people who have honor and love and creativity as ugly. These are just the most inbred, degenerate, hateful, destructive individuals, and they've totally bought into evil, and so they're constantly falling their soul deeper into evil as they fall down this bottomless chasm, and so the only time they feel any life is in venting and continually after some new wickedness, and it is just completely diabolical, and everything they're constructing is about total sorrow, total death, total destruction. I was on a radio show in Salt Lake City today, and the host brought up the point. He said, do you remember the movie Independence Day, hypothetically, where aliens attack? And they've captured one of the aliens from a crashed fighter craft, and they've got it behind glass in this containment center. And they've got a military device where he can communicate with telepathy with the alien. And the president goes in, and they've already blown up all our capitals. And the president goes in and communicates with the alien and says, and then, you know, has this connection. The alien shows them what they do. They come to planets, suck off the whole surface, kill everybody, and move on. They're like a group of cockroaches, basically. And the president says, look, we want to deal with you. Please stop. What do you want us to do? And the alien said one thing, die.
Just die.
Die. And so, but instead of being an alien, at the again, other people like yourself and others discovered before I did. I mean, I know you've covered this before, Tex, but to discover it yourself is from my own discovery, to actually go deeply into it to a level I can't even articulate, to learn that it's just like in the James Bond movie, Dr. No, when Dr. No's got him in the chair about to kill him, and he says, do you expect me to talk to Dr. No? And Dr. No says, no, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. That's what people have got to understand. It was all a test. Stalin, Lenin, Mao, all declassified, our government put them in now. That's, we already knew that, but now it's mainstream news. They brag about it. Hitler, Lord Milner and the Milner Group, by the 20s, said we've got to pick some of these young nationalists, put them in power, make them think we support them, have them blow Europe to pieces, then we'll come in with our UN. I mean, Lord Milner was talking about mass drugging people and how to control through different scientific systems to a level that sounds advanced in 2007. In 1901, we have all these released by the British government. I mean, you've got, when you read 150-year-old documents by Sir Francis Galton and other people, you learn there is no way. And simultaneously, in other parts of the planet, these same people have the same ideas, and it is as if some higher intelligence implanted them with this blueprint.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about Karl Marx. We offer a book called A Marx and Satan by Pastor Richard Vermbrand. He was in Romania in a concentration camp of the communist, Pastor Vermbrand was, only because of his Christian faith. He was a Jewish man, actually, but he was a Jewish Christian. And most of his tormentors actually were Jewish communists. But they hated him because he was a Christian. You see, this had nothing to do with race. It had to do with who he believed in, which was Jesus Christ. But it's interesting that in his book, he quotes Karl Marx. You know, there's so many people on our campuses today, professors and so forth, Alex, who believe that Karl Marx, you know, had it right. He really wanted to help the poor, the downtrodden, the workers and all of that. But, you know, the communists just carried it too far. But in fact, Karl Marx wrote poetry and wrote, you know, many of his, I think they've really only released to this day, the Soviet Union has only released about 20% of Marx's writings because he wrote things that you and I would consider totally mad, totally crazy. But in one of his poems entitled Olenem, he actually said that his real goal is to kill everybody on earth. And he says, but that's not enough. I don't want to just kill everybody on earth. I want to have the high tech, the scientific capability to destroy, to annihilate the entire planet earth. But wait, more. I would like to see all of the planets, even the sun, totally annihilated. And he said, that would be really living. Imagine the irony of saying that would be really living.
I know this. I've got to get you on my radio show immediately. See, that's what I mean. You start reading their writings, and it's just like slaughter. I love death. I mean, they're literally like frothing.
They are frothing, and everything you're saying and everything you've said in this video is true. Of course, Vladimir Lenin. One time, his wife, who was very bloodthirsty herself. Irina Krupskaya, she said, and she was making fun of it. She said that one time he got in a boat. Now, this was before he became, you know, the head of the Soviet Union. He got into a boat and went over to an island because he heard there were so many rabbits, they would literally just jump on your boat. This island was just full of wild rabbits. And he came back with a boat stacked about 3 feet high of dead rabbits. And she said she had never seen him so gleeful in his life. He took what was basically a baseball bat and went over there and just killed hundreds of rabbits and enjoyed the death. When reports would come into Lenin, and he was an Illuminist, that's what he really was. He was the same as these men you're exposing. When reports came to him from the various provinces of how many they, you know, died, how many we've taken away to this camp, to that camp, how many we've bludgeoned and put to death, he hollered and screamed and said, not enough. I need more blood. More blood. And so this is some kind of a mania. You know, and I'll just go with one more thing because I want to hear from you. But I remember a book that I've got called The First Lady of the World, which is sort of an interesting title, written by Dr. Robert Mueller. Mueller was, until recently, was the Assistant Secretary General of the United Nations. Basically, all of the 32 directorates reported to him. You know, the Secretary General was sort of a figurehead. He ran the United Nations for over two decades from its very beginnings. But Mueller admitted that the site for the United Nations building in New York City.
Slaughterhouse.
It's a slaughterhouse. And you've said, you know, you've exposed these kind of things in your video. He says that it gives the United Nations great power because it is the site that one time was a slaughterhouse where they kill thousands and thousands of cattle. He said the blood of those cows went into the ground and made that into a sacred place. In other words, United Nations is a holy and sacred place because of the blood of the animals sacrificed there.
Well,
now, this is grotesque.
They would go into the Saturn temple if you had the money, and they put a bull over you, and you'd be in a portico underneath it, and it had channels where all the hot blood would pour out on top of you.
Wow, you know, I forgot that in the old mystery religion of Mithra, which was the greatest competitor to Christianity. Now, here's the interesting irony again of this, Alex, and I want to get your opinion on this. It was Dr. Robert Mueller who went down to Central America and set up Peace University. Now, the same man that talks about the power of the United Nations being in the fact that all of these animals were sacrificed and their blood went into the ground on that very site. And by the way, the Rockefellers, as you know, gave the money for that and bought the land that the and donated it that the United Nations building sits on. But he established a peace university down in Costa Rica. Doesn't that make him a lover of world peace, Alex?
Oh, it certainly does. And then you read the writings of Ted Turner and the writings of Dr. Eric Pianca here at UT and the writings of Prince Philip and Prince Bernhard, founder of the Royal Wildlife Fund, the Bilderberg Group. And they say they want to kill 80 to 90% of us to 95% of us in the case of Ted Turner. And then now we hear the full court press 24/7, the ocean's dying, the earth is dying, there's all these problems, there's all this stuff happening. And there is some things happening, and they're doing nothing about those real problems. The answer is all these global taxes and social workers regulating how big your house is, and when you do anything, you have to be certified and in total control, and all these new layers of taxation and taxes on carbon dioxide that humans and other animals exhale and that plants breathe. It's a deadly poison. And I mean, they are driving like never before. And, you know, I didn't even put this in the film. There's so much in the film, but I'm going to do an endgame too. But how the Rockefellers, you know, discovered by 1915, they were running all the big major institutions and founded over 100 eugenics organizations and funded the Nazis, of course, and then that was their brand that Hitler at the Kaiser Wilhelm group put forward. And they discovered that cancer was virally transmitted. That most cancers were viral in nature. And then they talked about how they could set up cancer facilities, and then and it's all veiled, but they're saying it right there, make big money off treating it. Now it's up several thousand percentage points, and then the UN adding to tetanus, female hormones that are in the second trimester to cause spontaneous abortions, and 100% of the women that get it, and it's a UN program just for women because the shot wouldn't have hurt men, and then that came out mainstream news in the mid-90s, and George Bush ran the program. George Herbert Walker Bush, Sr., before he became Chinese ambassador, U.S. ambassador to China, and then ambassador to the U.N., to carry out the sterilization of 42%. This is declassified of Native American women. They'd come in for a medical exam. They'd knock them out with drugs and then tie their tubes. And then I found the IMF World Bank documents. This is all discovered, where the U.S. and the IMF World Bank under State Department Memorandum 200 went in and told China in the 70s, first you say it's a tax on more than one child, and then in 1980 you say it's the law, and China took IMF, World Bank, and investment money, and so that one-child policy came from here, and then in the film I have Fox News and others saying, oh, we need one-child policies here, but they're going to start it as taxes and penalties for people that have more than one child. So we can see the whole program being implemented. It's just so diabolical. And then social workers were founded in England over 100 years ago to carry out race hygiene and to carry out eugenics, all out of the ideas of Malthus, who talked about, you know, how to cram the population in together, how to use food as a weapon, and how to starve people. It all grows out of these elitist, feudalist ideas that merge with science. And then you see the UN documents about stirring up wars, about using food as a weapon, about how to exterminate populations. And then you discover the owner of IBM, Thomas Watson, funding Hitler, posing for photos, getting medals from him. Then when he died in 54, saying that the money from IBM was to be used to take over the different scientific systems to carry out eugenics, we discovered that basically they, because of trust busting, they couldn't in the 70s, or late 70s, early 80s, control the operating system and the sale of computers. So they set up the son, whose dad was friends with the IBM family, with the Watson family. His dad was the regional head and on the national board of Planned Parenthood, Bill Gates' father, now on the national board today, and that Bill Gates is a big eugenicist in his own statements, and Bill Gates III, you know, the owner of Microsoft, that it's basically an IBM front, that IBM's given billions to these population control programs. Then you see how Bill Gates gave $30-plus billion, Warren Buffett gave $39 billion. And we hear on the news it's to help third-world children, and then you really find out it's eugenics programs. And just all of this, it is just absolutely mind-blowing. And literally, they are poisoning the water, poisoning the air, putting all sorts of these things in the vaccines. They are just literally raising hell against the people. And you look at the cancer numbers and statistics right here in my office. I got two men that work for me. One's 25, one's 28. Both their girlfriends have serious cancer and are fighting for their lives, who are 20-something years old. There's babies dying all up and down my street from all sorts of cancers. Everyone I know 25, 30-year-olds that are dying from cancer. I mean, it's just a rain of hell. Lung cancer in women is up sixfold from the last decade federal study that came out earlier this year. They claim secondhand smoke's doing it, but smoking's down. I mean, it's just hell has been released, and it's all just getting worse and worse.
Hmm. You know, the word eugenics. Maybe you can describe what that means or explain it, because it doesn't sound bad. Eugenics, well, of course, we all believe in hygiene, but that's not what it's talking about, is it? So really, what is eugenics? Is it to create a super race, a better race? Hitler talked about those things. The Soviet Union talked about the new man or the Soviet man. Again, I think it's all the same concept.
The bottom line, it's the elite who are all into breeding and horse breeding and dog breeding and the feudal system that they are a different breed. Bottom line, they tell the public there's positive and negative eugenics. This is the public study of it. The public front, and that's bad enough. Positive eugenics is the elite breeding for higher intelligence, longer life eugenics, youth, being like the gods, creating a new species. This is their own statements from the founder, Galton and Wedgwood and the Huxleys and all of them. So in positive eugenics, it's about making them live longer, be healthier, be smarter, be better looking. Then the negative eugenics is sterilizing, exterminating unhealthy babies, euthanizing old people. The things that Hitler wanted to do on a planetary scale once he got control, he got that from England, the U.S., and was, again, financed. That's all public. That's an endgame. But the real eugenics, not just the positive and negative public face, it's bad enough. The elites say, no, we're actually waging war against the public. New threats to our hegemon, to our monopoly of power, spring from the middle class. We are going to have a hedge against the future and coldly exterminate the majority of the public, then have an engineered suboid class of 400 to 500 million. This is the official plan. Again, they differ in debate, lesser or more, but the more radical group is taking over. He gets more and more out of control. And they say that we have to dumb the public down, poison them, kill them off, so we don't have to pay them Social Security. We have to get control now. We need to do this. It's kind of like when the Romans would take over and somebody didn't submit, they'd kill everybody and salt the earth and not leave one stone not standing. Or when God tells the Israelites, go into these evil people, kill all of them, kill all their animals, get rid of them. Well, the elite have kind of counterfeited that, and they're saying, we're going to have the ultimate dictatorship, the final revolution, they use those terms, a new world order as their big eugenicist protege of Galton. H.G. Wells said, very wicked man, the Eloi and the Morlocks feeding on them, and they say that it is a process of getting us trained for extermination, orderly, you know, covering up their soft kill, slow kill operations that are camouflaged through the medicine and the rest of the things they're doing. And again, there's good people in the system who don't know it's compartmentalized, replacing, getting rid of the Hippocratic Oath, all the things they're doing. And so it's really waging war against the beautiful. It's really waging war against the intelligent. It's really, and so they think they're God. They're going to be gods. They are gods. But they say that there can be a threat to them taking over by the middle class that could overthrow them. So they're also waging war and trying to dumb down and mutate the mass.
So one of the things you mentioned, one of the richest men in the world, Warren Buffett, he gave $39 billion, you noted. To the Gates Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Gates,
that was
of course,
a one-time gift. He's actually given more, yes.
Okay. But most people don't realize the Gates, because it sounded so good, giving money to charity. Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world. You pictured him on your website. You had a picture of Warren Buffett with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Lord Jacob Rothschild there in Scotland. I remember that on your website. And that was just a few months before Schwarzenegger decided to run for governor. So it looks like they gave him the go-ahead there. But Buffett, suddenly, they say he's a very stingy man, but he's giving all these billions of dollars to the Gates Foundation. But from your disclosures, it turns out that the Gates Foundation really is involved in population control. In other words, basically killing off billions of people.
Well, that's exactly what's going on, and it's exactly what the Bible says, that the devil hates God's creation. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and everything they do is just so they can kill more people and get away with it. And really, just in a worldly, psychological perspective, the elite are old, they're unhappy, and there's two different ways that I've seen old people go. They either get sweeter and nicer and loving and love their grandchildren and great-grandchildren, or they're like old folks who hate young people and hate people who are happy and hate people who are healthy. So you go two ways. Well, these people are very upset that the life extension can make them live longer but not long enough, and so they just literally hate life, and they just enjoy the power. The ultimate control freak, the final extension of a control freak, is killing people. They rub their hands together. They love the people they poison and kill. They just absolutely, it's pure darkness. And for someone who isn't given over to evil, I mean, I'm worldly. I have to repent every day. I have problems. We all have sinned. You know, our best works are dirty rags to God. But, you know, us compared to them is night and day. I mean, they have just totally, they're at light speed racing towards hell. They are racing at light speed into darkness. Mm. And they would already have moved against us in mass engineered bioplagues. They've already got soft kill things, slow kill things like AIDS that can camouflage. That's all just a test. The minute they think they can launch it, and even Jane's Weapons Quarterly has said this, and Dick Cheney has written it back saying,
hold on just a minute. We're going to have to take a quick break here. But hold that thought, because this is an important thing. Folks, this is Tex Mars. You're listening to Power Prophecy. My special guest, Alex Jones, and we're going to be right back after this message with a lot more about the killing fields and the end game. Friends, Tex Mars here again. You know, the reason this video is so important to you, and I'm offering it to you, and I want you to have this video. I want you to bring friends over to your house. Watch this DVD. And you might want to schedule a couple of nights or make sure it's on the weekend, because I believe this is really the agenda. In fact, Alex Jones calls it the blueprint for global enslavement. But it's more, it's a blueprint for death. Now, I've been interested in this topic for a long time because some years ago I was reading the book of Proverbs, which I think is one of the most fantastic books in the Bible. It's really a book on just common great advice. But there was a bit of wisdom in there that shocked me. And I'll tell you, I kept coming back to it over and over again. Here's what it says. This is God's words. Now, God said this. He says, "He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul." But then he goes on to say something that is so shocking that it startled you. God said, "All they that hate me love death." That's a biblical principle. You see, it's one thing to be a sinner. There are many people in the world who are sinners. And it does that they're wronging their own soul, but wait. It's another thing to actually hate God. There are a lot of people. You can be a prostitute, a murderer, and not hate God. And there's hope for your redemption if you'll repent of that. And there are a lot of people into all kinds of sin, from adultery to lying to cheating to, I mean, even, you know, losing one's temper is really a sin. Envy, jealousy, covetousness, all these things are sins. But there is a sin, I think, that is incredible in its horror, in its destruction, and that is to hate God. To literally hate God. Alex Jones was talking to you just a while ago about the hate that these people have in their hearts for you and me just because we're alive. Well, it doesn't make any sense to me, but it doesn't have to make sense. It's true. And God said it. All they that hate me love death. As I said, there are many sinners who don't hate God. And hopefully we can pray for those people and get them on the path of righteousness. And they'll do good. But even then, it's only the very few that are so evil, so wicked, that they actually hate God. And they'll kill you too, because Jesus gave another spiritual principle. He said that in the last days, they will kill you and think they do God service. Their God, yes, Lucifer, or their God, some cosmic force. Their God, Mother Earth, Gaia, and they're doing their God service by getting rid of you and me. We're a plague on the earth. We're like a virus. They need to get rid of us to save the earth, to please the force, to please Mother Nature. And they think they're doing good by getting rid of us. They will kill you, Jesus said, and thinketh they do God service. They're doing God a service. And they are. They're God. End game. Of course, I'm talking about the spiritual or religious principle, which I believe trumps all others. But Alex has fact after fact after fact. In fact, it's mind-boggling. This is actually an academic, a scholarly video. Because he has quotes, he has film, he shows you books, people, he's mentioned several of them on the program here. George Herbert Walker Bush. Well, he served as head of zero population growth. There's Margaret Sanger. She's honored among all of the feminists today for establishing Planned Parenthood. But what Alex exposes about her is just amazing. Ted Turner, what a nice man. He was married to Jane Fonda. He loves us all. He's given over $1 billion to the United Nations. But he says it would be a good idea if 90% of the people on the earth weren't here, if we were just wiped off the face of the earth. What a project that will be. I mean, Hitler, it was a Sunday picnic. What Hitler did or what Stalin did as to what Ted Turner would like to do. But it all sounds so good. They're doing it for global warming. They're doing it for the best of reasons. End game. Is that the end game? Is it more than just money, power, control? Folks, if you have the power of life and death, It's greater than all these things in the heart of darkness. And that's what this video is all about. Endgame. It's an exploration into hearts of darkness. I want you to have this over 140 minutes long. Amazing material. You won't find it anywhere else in this compacted form that you need. End game. It's all one word. Alex just puts it all together. End game. Now, here's how to get your video. For $25, please add $4 shipping and handling, $29. Use your charge card. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. In the United States and Canada, our Canadian friends as well can use that number, 1-800-234-9673. Our regular phone number, feel free to call it, is 512-263-9780. Or send $29 in cash, a money order, cashier's check, or whatever, $29, and say, Tex, send me that video by Alex Jones, End Game. And Alex has been good enough to furnish us with enough copies. And if not, I know he'll go out and get printed more, because I think this is going to be his very best-selling video. We're putting it on the very front page. I mean, right on the home page of conspiracyworld.com and powerofprophecy.com. So you might just want to go to your computer after you've listened to this radio show here on Shortwave Radio. You might be listening to internet right now. While we're talking, right on the home page, you're listening to our radio program, Power of Prophecy, on our internet webpage. Well, right there. You'll just go right to it and order it right away. You've got to have this video. And not only that, listen, I want to appeal to you. Tell your friends about it. Tell your pastor about it. And show it to other people. This is what they're doing. I'm going to ask Alex Jones in a moment what this so-called rendition, they've even made up a new name for their killing and torturing game. What does rendition in these gulag camps that the Bush administration are building, what that has to do with the end game? And I think you're going to be shocked at his answer. I don't know what he's going to say, but I have a feeling about it. Anyway, get this video, $29, and discover the startling truth, the end game blueprint for global enslavement. Now let's return to our regular program. Alex, I know you had something on your mind right before we ended. Maybe we can go into that, but I'm really curious to know this rendition, this picking people up without even a real warrant. I mean, just suspecting them of being a terrorist and then shipping them in airplanes around the world to these pre-prepared gulag camps. What has that got to do with Endgame?
Well, that's a great question. I'm of course you know the answer, but I'll be glad to give you my take on it, Tex. But just going back to, I almost put that quote out of the Bible, that passage about those that hate me, all those who hate me love death. And that's really it. I've known people in my life who something bad happened in their life or whatever, and they literally hate God.
Mm.
And I mean, all I feel is just absolute, you know, not even fear. I mean, I fear God, but at the same time, it's just, I mean, just the majesty, the beauty, the thankfulness for all the great things God gives us. I can really feel the presence of the goodness. And I just can't imagine how these people, they really hate it. And they hate God's creation, and that's why they want to kill human beings. That's why they love it. But, you know, they admit that Fox has been funded and that the show 24 shows them torturing children of supposed terrorists to get the answers. It always works. Torture's good. Now they have Fox News host. They have a talking point, Glenn Beck, on CNN saying Ron Paul supporters are terrorists. That's an actual quote. They support Al-Qaeda. Christians are terrorists in the FEMA training manuals. We have video of that. They had a Fox News host today say dissenters who protest or heckle Hillary Clinton in this case should, quote, be tasered and beaten to a pulp. They are openly have built this big apparatus of domestic tyranny, claiming it was for Al-Qaeda. Now they're swinging it around in desperation a little earlier than they meant against their real enemies. And I think they're totally, via desperation, blowing their cover. And there are over 30 black sites, as they call them, in Iraq alone. There is a camp within a camp X-ray, but that's kind of the public, in-camp. It's been admitted a CIA laboratory with a camp within a camp. So we see camp rules and lighter torture like waterboarding that's bad enough outside the central camp. But we know nothing about that medical installation. described there run by doctors. But we do know about the black sites in Czech Republic, black sites in Romania, black sites in Georgia, Ukraine, that's Georgia, Eastern Europe, folks. And they take them in there, and they are laboratories. And in the media, the government's even admitted this, that these are, it's a practice. You know, that we see doctors practice medicine. Well, these doctors, and they're CIA doctors, practice the most horrible types of torture, mind control, you name it. And it's about getting fake confessions. I mean, that's what it's really all about, because the Army's own manuals from 30 years ago say, well, it's only good for fake confessions and to terrorize people. So it's all about fear, and they're just bringing back the literal bowels of hell. And let me read what a true demon had to say in the Wall Street Journal, Alan Dershowitz, last week. There are some who claim that torture is nonsense because it will never work. It only produces false information, wrote Dershowitz in the Wall Street Journal. This simply is not true, as evidenced by the many members of the French Resistance who, under Nazi torture, disclosed the locations of their closest friends and relatives. I mean, that's a quote in this piece we have at the top of PrisonPlanet.com.
Well, Alex, he's basically saying the Nazis were successful when they tortured innocent citizens. So, he's basically saying, let's do it too.
No, he's actually saying he's for it. Then they have debates about waterboarding torture. Waterboarding, number one, kills a lot of people. They do it too. The media keeps claiming that they put a rag in your mouth and then pour water down your nose. That's field waterboarding. We have the CIA manual. I've had a special forces colonel on who electrocuted women, shocked women, I should say, and because electrocution would be killing them, and waterboarded them. In the field, there's three different ways to waterboard, standard ways. If you're in the field, you don't even have a bucket of water, you strap somebody down with their head down, on their back, facing up, then you pour water down their nose and down their mouth with a rag, and so it's very painful, and they can't breathe, so you're just choking them. There's actually four ways. They can also put a bag over your head. It's the same thing. You breathe the oxygen, and then they just start making you asphyxiate on that, and it induces the panic result. But in the CIA manual, there's three. They don't have that one in there, but we found in Soviet manuals, and police departments do this a lot too, and it's come out in a lot of cases with the bag. And it's the Mexican police do it with the bag, but they pour Tabasco sauce shook up in a Coca-Cola up your nose too. They find that seems to get you to answer questions or say you committed a crime and sign a paper. It's used for false confessions. But the other two types of primitive waterboarding, and these are in French Inquisition manuals, Spanish Inquisition manuals. These are some of the oldest forms of torture. The Chinese did it too. What they would do is, I mean, it's been too much time on this, so stop me if you want me to, is that they stick your head in a bucket. But if you watch the film Conspiracy Theory of Mel Gibson, that's the third type, where they put you on a board and then slide your head to the shoulders completely into the water. But they do that last because that kills a large percentage, and they just keep simulating drowning. But then on Fox News, they had a military doctor on who talked about black sites back in 2003 when they thought they had it sold on all this, who said what they do now, and he said it was great, they have drugs that stop your heart while you're conscious. And there's because if you choke somebody at the neck, the brain conks out. But with these new drugs, they can turn your heart on and off, and they also use electricity with it. And so you're conscious about a minute, and you're actually like a zombie at that time, so they're killing you for a second or getting close to killing you, but officially stopping your heart to do that. So they're just inventing the most ghoulish things you can imagine.
Yeah, they really are. You know, it was admitted, you know, one of those Iraqi generals was taken and stuffed in a sleeping bag head first. And he died. He suffocated. And they said it was an accident. How can it be an accident?
Is they get about, well, they just had the Polish fellow a month ago. There's a taser death every day now. But the Polish guy had been 14 hours behind the doors. His mother had come to get him. He panicked. He had a panic attack. He was yelling and screaming and knocked a chair over. The cops come up and taser him once. He falls down. Then four of them sit on him and jump on his head, and he's flopping. And 10 seconds after tasering him the second time, they say, stop moving. Well, he can't. They're shocking him. So they hit him again, and then he just dies. And then they say, oh, no, it wasn't us jumping on him or tasering him. He was on a new, I forget the medical term, a new medical term that they claim people panic and die even when they're 35 years old because they're so upset.
Yeah, these tasers, you know, we're really dehumanizing people. We're brutalizing people and creating an entire generation of police killers who enjoy this. And it's just
exactly. They've trained them for the image of us being shot by something and the image of flopping around in pain, and they're setting that precedent.
You know, 20 years ago, I was very deep into the study of robotics, high technology. I did a book, in fact, called Mega Forces, talking about the coming technological systems of torture and control. And I remember at that time there were two things that were of interest to me because of their horror. And I imagine this was 20, 25 years ago that I wrote of these, Alex. One was a medication they had found that they said caused the most severe pain ever imaginable. There is no pain like it. And they were synthesizing this. Now, why would they be synthesizing this chemical?
Exactly.
That they could
imagine, and more than just that, this is a key point on torture and on biological chemical testing, having our troops march into chambers, nerve gassing them, killing them, having our military doctors radiate small children that CPS had taken, more than 4,000. You know, just hundreds of examples like these, is it trains cadres. It isn't even about the child being killed as much as it is getting cadres of men and women that are ideologues or who enjoy this stuff and training them like attack dogs on real blood, and then having them go out and create larger cadres, larger cohorts, larger divisions, larger battalions, larger armies of Hellspawn. And they have a popular video game called Dungeon Keeper 1, 2, and 3. I was reading about it in a major PC magazine in 1999, and you go out and kidnap children, villagers, you take them into your subterranean hole, and at first you're just this big red demon, and you've just got one hole and one child to torture, but the more pain you cause, the more power and demon slaves you get, and then you actually assault cities and torture and murder and get more power. And so, I mean, it's literally hell has been released against us, and they've created giant cadres of literal demons, and now they're on TV saying torture's good, tasering's good for political speech, evil's good, corruption's good. I mean, they are literally trying to beguile and sell the public to create larger hordes of torturers and killers and abusers, and you're absolutely right. And they have hellish things we probably can't even imagine. I mean, I remember reading about mind control experiments. These are the declassified things, and they would do things they knew would freak people out. Like Dr. Ewing Cameron took thousands of men and women. Normally, families would institutionalize their children. Then for weeks on end, they would fly them to Canada out of the U.S., and this is, you know, one of the top CIA mind control doctors, and they would, for 6 months, give you LSD, PCP, peyote cocktails every week, blind sensory deprivation, and then just play recordings with key word, key commands over and over again. And then they'd wake you up and throw fake blood on you while you're hallucinating and have people run around in devil outfits in front of you. I mean, it's just in all sorts of weird combos. And really, it's just that the doctors like to dress up in devil outfits and throw fake blood on you. I mean, really, it's just that they're sick demons who've institutionalized absolute sickness.
Absolutely, and it is a ritual. It is to please their devils. I watched one of the Abu Ghraib videos they had, and it's not on the internet anymore. But one of the Iraqis being tortured was screaming, and one of the sergeants turned to the other one. They were laughing about it and said, "What is he saying?" And because one of them evidently could speak the language, and the other one couldn't. And he said, he's calling on God to help him. And the guy said, tell him that I said, we are God here. We are God here.
That's the spirit of evil speaking out of him.
It was absolutely, you're right, Alex, absolutely. Can you imagine, we're God here. Tell him, you know, here's this poor guy being tortured.
I mean, that's literally what a devil, you know, said to some of the, who was it where the devils talk out of the people and say, we're God of this world, this is our planet?
Absolutely. So this is just, it's unbelievable the horror of these things. And the fact that an attorney, and by the way, you know, Alan Dershowitz was one of O.J. Simpson's attorneys.
Yeah.
So you can see what a rotten, vulgar mind this man has. But he's a very much a pro-Zionist, and, you know, he would be probably for the nuclear bombing of all of the Middle East to kill all of the Arabs. It's interesting, you know, because, you know, as a Christian, Alex, no Christian could want to see Jewish people killed in Tel Aviv. None of us can find that.
Financed Hitler to do that, and they wouldn't even let the Jews get out, and that's now mainstream news.
Oh, I believe absolutely, because they wanted their own homeland, but they didn't just want a homeland. There's more. There's this idea that they can create a utopia on earth. But my point is, no Christian can be happy when Jews are killed. No Christian can be happy when Muslims are killed.
I mean, by the way, you know, I wanted to ask you, did you hear, I have the video, Hagee said Jesus is not the Messiah?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Hagee, here we have this horror. I don't think any of these people are true Christians. Hagee,
I'm not kidding.
Robertson.
I mean, I'm sure you've seen it with your listeners. Hagee says Jesus was not the Messiah.
Yeah, well, he would have to say that because his whole goal is Israel. He is not for Jesus.
Said that, but the whole church should have got up. He has 11,000 every Sunday.
Uh-huh.
He gives hour-long sermons saying Jesus was not the Messiah.
Well, yeah, because, again, it pleases his Jewish Zionist friends.
How does he get away with that? I mean, how do supposed rock-ribbed mainline Christian conservatives, I mean, it just shows, folks, that when Antichrist hits the scene, they're all going to fall down in front of him.
Oh, yes, because the theory is that, and they believe it's, again, they're doing God's service.
They're saying that Jewish Messiah that comes, that's Jesus. That's what Hagee's saying, and that's right out of Revelation. That's Antichrist.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so he's looking for the Antichrist to come.
But Jesus said over and over again, you're a better scholar than I, that the servants of the devil will always say, I'm not the Messiah. They will say, I'm not God's son. They will say, I'm not he.
Well, Jesus told the Jews of his day, I come in the Father's name, and you receive me not, but someday one will come in his own name, him you will receive. So they're looking for a Messiah, the Jews, and they will get their Messiah, all right. And you're right, he'll be the Antichrist.
But this is the bedrock of Christianity, of Christendom, that Jesus is the Messiah, and that he was rejected. I'm sure you've seen it, Tex, but I have the video. He has a TV ad. He wrote a book called Defense of Israel, and he says Jesus was not the Messiah. He was a rebel. I mean, this is it even blows me away. And then Pat Robertson endorses pro-abortion Giuliani and says it doesn't matter.
Well, you know, Pat Robertson, you were talking earlier about the one child per family rule in China.
Job, yeah.
Yeah, Robertson was a big supporter of that on the 700 Club.
He also, and then on 60, and he went on CNN, but getting back to torture, just before we run out of time here, and I hope folks will get endgame from your ministry. Talking about Abu Ghraib at the Saddam Hussein International Airport, we then discovered that there were thousands of videos. I saw this in a congressional report. Congress was able to see them. The White House, by the way, one of the videos sent over. I'm sure they enjoy it. But they knew all this stuff was going to be leaked about the torture, so they chose to take mid-level people who were doing unauthorized torture at camps where it was going on, and that the CIA or the people upstairs taking the photos and shooting the video, and that they released some of the lower grunts doing low-level stuff to then lessen it.
Mm-hmm, I
see. As bad as all that stuff looks, dogs biting people, beating people to death, making men dress naked, and I mean, you know, get naked and do homosexual acts. But, and then Limbaugh got on the air and said, oh, the troops are blowing off steam. Let them have a little fun. You ever heard that clip?
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, I have the clip on PrisonPlanet.com.
Unbelievable.
TruthNews.us. So, I mean, it just...
They're sick. They're really sick. It's grotesque. It's beyond... They're into necrophilia, and they're absolute... Well, it's insanity.
And doesn't the Bible say out of their own mouths, they'll tell you? I mean, Limbaugh... In two different casts I have, newscasts he was doing or shows, says word for word, oh, come on, they're just blowing off some steam, having some fun. You ever need to blow off some steam? This is no big deal.
Yeah.
Beating people to death. By the way, the Army's own report on Abu Ghraib, and I don't mean to get graphic here, but it says sodomizing people with giant objects dripping with acid, battery acid.
Oh, my goodness. See,
yeah. So you want to know what's going on there, and it said raping people's children in front of their parents, okay? That's General Tagumbo's own report, Filipino-American general, two-star, and it says raping children, and it says 97% of those taken to Ghraib and other camps didn't have their papers in order and were tortured for no reason. So even if you're for torture, they are raping children. And so this is the new Christianity. This is the new conservatism is that. And Jesus, by the way, isn't the Messiah. Have you seen that video?
Well, no, but I've heard many people tell me about it. And it's absolutely true. And he says the same thing Hagee does in defense of Israel. And all of this is a very sick doctrine that has spread throughout evangelical Christianity. This has been coming. This has been gathering steam now since the days of Cyrus Scofield way back in the beginning of the 20th century.
Hagee, skip it. I mean, anybody knows that's pure. I mean, that is direct devil talk.
What they have done, they have substituted the nation and people of Israel, in other words, all the Jews of the world, and they are the Messiah. Collectively, the Jews are God. They are Messiahs on earth.
No, I've seen his whole hour-long speech. It's on YouTube and Google, and he actually says that we are juniors to Jews, that the rabbis are right, that the Messiah is coming, and that we need, he says, worship them.
Boy, this is just really sick. I'll have to get on that video and see that Google video.
Type in, let me think of the headline. I can even try it right now here on Google. Pastor Hagee says Jesus not Messiah. In fact, I could probably even, I know we got 2 minutes left, I could probably even play the clip over the phone here.
Well, I'll tell you, let's do another program just on that alone, Alex, a little later on, because that is so incredibly outrageous. But all of it has to do with the justification for killing Arabs, seizing the oil, making them into subhumans, and making people where we're so happy to torture. Yeah, well, do you have it right now?
Yeah, we don't have time. It's Jesus did not come to be the Messiah.
Yeah, we only have 1 minute. Jesus did not come to be the Messiah.
You type that into Google, and
boy,
here, I can turn it up right now. Here it is.
Okay.
It will expose the sins of the fathers and the vicious abuse of the Jewish people. In defense of Israel will shape Christian theology.
Turn it up just a little bit, Alex, if you could.
As a whole, did not
the volume.
As Messiah. It will also prove that Jesus did not come to earth to be the Messiah. It will prove that there was a Calvary conspiracy between Rome, the high priest.
It goes on and on. Did you hear that?
Yeah, that Jesus did not come to be the Messiah. That was John Hagee's voice.
Yeah.
Well, incredible information there. And again, these are the last days. These people, of course, are liars. They're denying. The Bible says, he that denieth the Son hath not the Father. So what does that tell you? Hey, Alex, we've run out of time here. Been great being with you. Folks, I want to recommend this video, DVD now. It's all we've got, DVD. We don't have the VHS. End game. You've got to have it. Call us or write us today and get in game or go to our websites. Alex, thank you again for being our guest today on Power Prophecy.
Tex, God bless you. Thank you.
Hey, God bless you and all the best to that wonderful lady Violet. Okay. And those kids.
Yes, sir.
Folks, be with us each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.